getting college students out of their classrooms, out of the academic bubble, and into communities, giving eager students an opportunity to take what they're learning and put it into practice in the real world, and at the same time, hopefully help the community. Certainly seems like a win-win for all sides. That's why students from Wayne State University and the University of Michigan are permeating the city of Detroit through many programs. We wanted to see what's been learned by all sides in these partnerships. We're joined by Jerry Herron, who's founding dean of the Honors College at Wayne State University. Welcome to the program, Jerry.
Thank you, Cindy. Good to be here.
And Larry Gant joins us. He's a professor at the University of Michigan, another university with very deep ties with the city of Detroit. Larry, good to have you with us.
Good day to both of you.
Jerry, I'll start with you. It's very clear that with Wayne's location right in the heart of Detroit, that the relationship between the students at Wayne and the people of Detroit are a given. It's really one of your selling points. Give us an idea of the kinds of programs that are sending Wayne students into the city.
Well, here at the Irvin D. Reed Honors College, I make to our incoming freshmen the following proposition, that Detroit is the most American place on planet Earth, that everything that makes us who we are is going further, faster here than anywhere else. So it's a heroic place, a place of extraordinary achievements. Also, it's the place where all the work we have left to do, if we're going to live up to the magisterial words of the Declaration about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, all that unfinished work lies immediately to hand here. So for a young person, this is the place to be, I think, if you want to engage the heroic past of our republic and also engage the tasks that lie before us. So our students take a year-long course on the city and city-making, on citizenship in the Honors College at Wayne State University. And part of that course is to take things that students learn in class and to move those directly into the community, to become meaningful members of this community, to become active agents in addressing some of these problems. And I make to them this following proposition about the Hamlet conundrum. Poor old Hamlet comes home for spring vacation. He's greeted by his father's ghost. His father's ghost charges him with these imponderable kinds of duties that lie upon that young man's shoulders, and he stumbles around five acts and never quite figures out what to do, falls on poisoned sword, and dies. So what you want not to do is to be defeated by the Hamlet conundrum, to figure out a problem that a group of undergraduate students can meaningfully do to take their learning and do something meaningful in the community to leave behind something of value there. And I think everybody wins in that case.
And Larry, what do you find that your students can gain from working in Detroit and bringing their budding skills to Detroit that they might not get, say, from, let's say, working in Ann Arbor or Ypsilanti?
I think that, you know, one major point that very few of our students realize is that University of Michigan was founded in Detroit, not too far from where Wayne State's located, back around 1817. And so even though the university moved to the west, there are still these real deep roots. So I think the one thing that we try to make very, very clear is that there is a connection, a very, very clear connection with the University of Michigan and Detroit, and really that the fortunes are tied between the university and the city of Detroit. The second thing that we try to do is to say, you know what, it's really important to understand the whole city. You know, Detroit is Americana, and as a matter of fact, I'll kind of extend a little bit on Jerry's points and say that, you know, in my work, which takes me, you know, around the world, Detroit is often seen as this very interesting, you know, kind of harbinger of industrial city, mm-hmm. but also this kind of this new wave of a post-industrial neo-structural community that's rising again from the ashes. And I think one of the large questions that folks from around the world say is, how is it that the city is beginning to rise from the ashes, and what is it going to become? Our students don't quite get that, but they want to get that. And so we talk an awful lot about, listen, the city of Detroit is very interesting, but it's a host city, and you have to understand. So we take the impression that looking at Detroit, consider the same kind of preparations that you would make if you were going to go visit and you were going to go to hosting, okay? So you would understand something about the behaviors, something about the expectations, something about what you could and could not do. You wouldn't make a whole lot of assumptions about, you know, what is appropriate behavior and what is not. You wouldn't judge terribly. You wouldn't judge harshly. You would have an impression of curiosity. You would ask questions, but most of all, you would do it with an air of respect. And I think for a number of students, that kind of the importance of respect the importance of being invited in to communities is what we really try to communicate. So it's not a coming down to the city of Detroit. It's working alongside the city of Detroit with a sense of respect and of wonder and of history as well, too. So we're not sugarcoating what has happened, but we're also not burying the city under lots and lots of challenges as well, too.
So we're talking about not a project, but a real partnership.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think back to my Hamlet conundrum, poor old Hamlet stumbles into that terrible plot, finally gets crushed by it because of the dimension of problems that he finds it impossible to conceive a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if a student or anybody, a resident of greater metropolitan Detroit, and I would include all of us, however you want to count it, 3 or 4 million of us who live around this great city, not just the people inside 8 Mile Road, if you look at us today and you think, good grief, Detroit has these problems that confront the rest of urban America. I don't know, what am I going to do by 5 o'clock today, close a business about child illiteracy, urban poverty,
mm-hmm.
the way we treat old people in cities, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to solve that. So if I can't figure out a solution, Hamlet-like, by 5 o'clock, I guess I don't have to do anything. Well, I think the point is to understand how we got here in this great city of ours. Where did we come from? What exactly were the steps that brought us to where we are today? And then you begin to understand that, this is something that humans did. Good decisions, bad decisions, mm-hmm. heroic achievements, some achievements we ought not to be particularly proud of, but it's a human-made thing. And if it's a human-made thing, it's also a human-correctable thing. And that's the crucial point, I think, that to see where we got, how we got to where we are, what decisions were made, and then to begin to think critically and meaningfully, creatively, about decisions that we might make as a result. And then I think the city ceases to be such a crushing problem. Child poverty, how am I going to solve
okay.
that by 5 o'clock this afternoon?
Sure.
Well, if there's something that a small group of people, young people especially, 4 or 5, can do to begin to understand urban agriculture, can begin to understand food security, can begin to understand how people can feed themselves on limited amounts of budget, and begin to become teachers, let's say, to help other people understand those kinds of problems, then I think that cosmic problem begins to be entirely approachable on an individual or a small group basis.
Larry Gant, would it be fair to liken the city to kind of a test lab? Is that at all fair?
The city's already involved in lots and lots of natural experiments. Now, they wouldn't call them that, but Jerry makes so many excellent points. Okay, this didn't happen overnight. It's at least a 60-year process of human attempts to solve problems in very human ways, some positive, not so positive. But he's also very, very correct in that what's happening now, and this is where I find very good solace, is that neighborhoods and people in neighborhoods have not turned the lights out on the city. And they're saying, okay, well, we've got this emergency management going on. We've got people kind of telling us what to do. Our neighborhood is not on the books for any kind of gentrifying urban development, okay? But what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so in many of the neighborhoods, you'll see residents kind of rolling up their sleeves, doing what they can do, in their neighborhood to address core problems of illiteracy, of lights on, lights out, of providing safety and security to seniors. I mean, all of these wonderful stories that don't lead with blood. So, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, there's a lot of things going on in many neighborhoods. It doesn't sugarcoat the reality, but there's a lot of it going on in the neighborhoods that never gets covered by the news.
Sure.
And we provide our students that kind of opportunity to say, you know what? Let's go in and let's learn alongside and let's work with these residents, these small community organizations, these small programs, both governmental and non-governmental, and let's see what's already going on. And is there something small that we can add that might help the program along, help the process along? Can we provide some resources? Can we provide listening? What can the students do?
So a very granular, really, really not macro at all, but really in there.
Right. I think crucially important to keep in mind that Detroit problems are American problems. And as Americans came relatively late to cities, we didn't stay long in cities as a dominant destination for us. By the 1970s, we were the first suburban population that had ever lived on our planet. So the things that happen when people come to a city, live in the city, benefit from the city, and then relatively soon leave the city behind, that's an American story. It's a story that is pronounced, perhaps, in particular detail in Detroit, but I think in confronting both the achievements and also the difficulties and the challenges of the city, it's important for our students to keep in mind that these are American things that we're looking at. They're not just things that exist inside of 8 Mile Road. And also, that just like our republic, Detroit has always been an experiment. It's certainly an experiment in terms of inventing the modern world, the assembly line, and standardized production. No one ever thought of doing that before. No one imagined that people could come from all over the world, all over this country, to invent the mechanical modern world that we did here in Detroit. So in that sense, I think to join the experiment and say, yes, this is an experiment in progress, and we're still able to take a meaningful, active hand in this experiment, that's the excitement of the place.
What do you each feel have been the biggest successes of your school's partnership with the city of Detroit? I'll start with you, Jerry.
Well, I believe, in general, the engagement of a group of students, and typically our students work on a project in a small group, to engage a place that they've come to understand through some work that they do in class, and to find that, yes, I can understand and I can play a meaningful, I can become a citizen of this place in a real and practical sense. I think many of our students have grown up inside the mythology of Detroit. They've heard about the place their whole lives. Often, most recently, they've heard negative things about the place. And I think to discover that this is not some kind of stereotype, it's not some kind of image, it's not some kind of show that's being put on in the afternoon evening news. It's a real place where real people live that you can engage directly and learn from them as much as the place might benefit from your interaction. I think that's the dialogue, that might be the right word to call it, that one can open with the great city of Detroit. And I think that's illuminating and animating for everyone, and especially illuminating and animating for our students who find themselves being drawn to this place because of the experiences common to us all as Americans, drawn to it, learning from it, and then being able to be part of it, to become a citizen of this greater project of America, which is specially represented here in Detroit.
And as you see University of Michigan students, Larry Gant, making their way into volunteer in Detroit, what has been the most satisfying part of that for you?
I think, honestly, the increasing degrees and the increasing amount of respect and humility that our students bring with them when they seek opportunities and when they seek permission to engage with community partners and residents in the city. So there's been far, far, far less the notion of coming in as angels to save the residents or to save the neighborhoods or to save the community. Communities don't want that. Partnerships, yes. They don't want to be saved or rescued by this angelic third party. And it's nice to see the students realize that. So when they come in, they say, before we come in, what do we need to know? You know, how do we engage respectfully? And what are the boundaries? We can't give away everything. We've got, you know, we need to gain something, some learning and some resources and some information for ourselves, but how do we engage in partnership? And I also think that it also stretches the resident and community ability to learn and understand how complicated and how very, very different university partners are. University of Michigan and Wayne State, yes, we're both universities, but very different kinds of universities with very different kinds of resources, and one size doesn't fit all. So there's also some really interesting learning that residents and communities get to do about understanding the very different cultures of university partnerships.
Real interesting conversation. I thank both of you so much, Jerry Herron from Wayne State University and Larry Gant from the University of Michigan. Thanks for talking with us on Stateside.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks, Larry. Good talking to you both.
Take good care, man. Okay.